I knew that Durango was a town crying for a midwife because I had done a sort of demographic study of the Four Corners area. I was from Colorado and wanted to return to Colorado, and this was sort of the area we wanted to come back to. And when I did a demographic study of the area, it really appeared to me that there was a great need for to offer the alternative of midwifery to women. And there was enough women with that consciousness of, yes, I want a midwife, to make my practice. I never advertised once. Mm-hmm. It was all word of mouth. Wow. And I was doing so many births from the day I started that I've been majorly sleep deprived for 5 years so since I've been here. So I wouldn't say, I mean, I have done a lot of education because, you know, some women would come and never have heard of a midwife or had sort of the attitude you were suggesting that, well, midwife means substandard care. And then once they met me and we got to talking and I told them sort of about background education, training, philosophy, what they could expect for their care if they had me as their provider. Women were just, I don't want to go anywhere else. You know, this is what I want. Plus, they were in a hospital. They had doctor backup right there ready if they needed it. It was sort of the best of both worlds. They sort of got the attention and the care they really craved and wanted. At the same time, they had medical backup and medical intervention at the ready if they needed it. So.
Right. So at what point would you defer to a doctor? Can you just describe a little bit about what kind of things would be happening that you'd need to call a doctor in for?
You know, I practice by a written set of protocols. That means when I came, I developed protocols that would sort of be the circle of safety within which I practice. And in those protocols, it says, if this were to happen, consult with a physician. If this were to happen, consult with a physician. I wrote those. I developed and wrote those protocols. I based them on protocols that were written by other midwife practices throughout this region and the country. So it was a pretty standard set of protocols. And it's easy because a midwife really takes care of normal, healthy women. And so when you're such an expert in normal and such a guardian of normal, when things are not normal, they become red flags and they jump out at you. Ooh, that's not normal. That's something that shouldn't be. And there's sort of this, maybe you know, here's your normal circle and then the red flag pops out or several red flags pop out and you go, okay, I'm stepping out of my normal circle a tiny bit, but I'm still okay. I can handle this. But I might get on the phone and I'd say, gee, I've got so-and-so and this is what we're doing. But I just want you to know I'm seeing a few red flags. I may not say red flags, but I'm seeing a few things I'm concerned about I want you to know about. The physician then is aware of who I'm with and what's going on. And then if I make another phone call, they say, I need help now. And then they might come in. The simplistic answer to your question, because literally, I couldn't be specific because there's too many times I might call a physician in. The simplistic answer is if mother or baby aren't okay, and I know that, or I'm concerned that they might not be okay even though they're okay now, I'm going to start calling a physician in. And I will call a physician in and I'll tell him or her, this is what's happening, this is what I'm doing. This is what I need from you. I don't let them just come in and take over unless I say, I really need you to take over. You know, sometimes I just want them to support me, give me some input, like, what am I missing here? What else could I be thinking of? It's a wonderful relationship when it works well. When it doesn't work well, it's the worst. It's like being in a bad marriage. But when it works well, it's just the best relationship you could ever have because you're giving optimal care to a mother and a baby when you know all you have to do is get on the phone with this buddy of yours and say, what else am I not missing? What am I missing here? Or I need you to come in and hold my hand through this one or whatever.
Right. Sounds perfect. Yeah. Okay. Are there any notable characters or personalities in midwifery that stand out for you? Like I know...
Ina May.
Right, yeah. You've seen this book. I think, that's a great book.
Ina May's definitely a... character. let's see. Are you asking who are well-known midwives that
I admire? Sure.
That kind of thing?
That's fine.
No, I'm not much one to have heroes or heroines, to tell you the truth. I admire all the well-known midwives that work hard to make themselves well-known, because they represent the voice of midwifery, whereas the quiet working voice of midwifery is too busy working to make their voices known. But I do appreciate those women who are willing to step out of their working place in order to be the voice. Ina May has done that. There's a number of other midwives, both in the sort of traditional midwife category and the nurse midwife category. Kitty Ernst, Helen Varney Burst, or Burst Varney. I could spend all day listing names of midwives who are sort of that public voice, and there are so many quiet voiced midwives that you don't know about that aren't big names that I admire for all kinds of reasons. I don't know, you know, I guess I'd have to think about who I want to.
Okay, if you think of any, just stop me later, that's fine. How important is spousal involvement during the birth? Do you ever deliver babies that the father's just not even there?
Or? Sure.
Wow.
I think that, again, this is very much a personal choice that I think families should make. Some fathers want to have such a personal involvement that they want to help catch the baby, and that's fine with me. There have been births where I stand in the corner and let the father do everything because they want me there if they need me, but if they don't need me, they don't want me there, and that's fine with me, because as long as I can be there and make sure I'm not needed, then I'm comfortable. If my hands are needed, I want to be there. I have fathers who are glued to their wives or their partners, just glued to them. I have fathers who tell me they can't be there. That's just either culturally not part of what they can do, or they're just terrified, or it just totally makes them sick, or, you know, it's just not possible for them to be there on some psychological, physical, emotional, spiritual level.
Right.
And so what I tell people, and I do tell this to my clients when I visit with them prenatally, is that there's all these extremes of how a spouse or partner might be involved in a birth, and that all of that's okay with me as long as they're up front with me and talk to me and let me know what works for them. And it can change. They can say to me prenatally, I want to catch the baby, Steffi, and then during the birth say, I can't even be in the room, Steffi, and all of that's okay with me. Michelle Odant, who's a famous physician, French physician, who's well-known for underwater births, believes that men are not supposed to be at birth. He's a passionate Frenchman, and he is at birth. He's a birth attendant. But he really thinks that men have no place at birth, and that somehow it interferes with the sexual relationship that a man has with his partner, because he sees as the baby comes through the birth canal, he sees what he basically thinks of as a very sexual place in his relationship with his partner, open and stretch and do all these things that, you know, that are kind of gross or yucky or make him think that this won't ever be a place to enjoy that kind of thing again. And so he says that men really don't have a place at birth. That there's something that should remain mystical or mysterious about birth, and that men shouldn't ask to have that ruined by being present for the birth of their children. But so, you know, I think that that may very well be true for some people. For other people, they are, like I said, you couldn't not have them there. And so I personally don't have a preference. It's totally, I mean, if a man is agitated and upset or abusive and it's clear he shouldn't be there, I might suggest that he leave for a bit, or take him outside and talk to him a bit and say, you know, what is it going to take for you to be okay and be back? Or are you not going to be okay and not be back? You know, I'll do that. But I think it's really up to the couple and the man himself what he can and can't do. Sometimes women and men have different expectations. So one partner, the female, might have expectations of what her partner, male partner, should do and be for her in the birth, and the male partner can in no way meet those expectations. Mm-hmm. And that's a conflict that, as a midwife, I need to help them work through when it's not something that they both agree on or understand together.
Right. So, okay, great. What are the legal aspects of midwifery? Do you have to have malpractice insurance, or what is the...
Well, as I sort of alluded to earlier, in Colorado, you can be a licensed midwife without being, and you're not a nurse midwife. You're licensed by the state. You don't have to have any malpractice insurance. You don't have to have any doctor backup. You do home births. You're limited in, you can't collect third-party insurance at all. You can't carry medications, not even drugs to control hemorrhage or oxygen. You know, there's a lot of different things that the state has limited home birth midwives from in the licensure process, but for the simple low-risk home birth, you know, it's a simple thing. You get paid cash and off you go. For a nurse midwife, a certified nurse midwife, we practice under our nursing license in the state of Colorado, and it's different, again, state by state, so I'm only going to talk about really mm-hmm. Colorado. We practice under our nursing license, and the nursing... what's it called? Oh, the Nurse Practice Act is what sort of directs our practice. We have to have a relationship with a supervising physician that is stated clearly in the Nurse Practice Act. So if we don't have a relationship with a supervising physician, we can't practice. And therein lies the catch-22, because although nowhere does it state that we have to have malpractice coverage. So, for example, someone like Lisa Ali, who's a home birth nurse midwife, doesn't have to carry, and doesn't, to my knowledge, I don't think she carries liability insurance. But without a supervising physician, an arrangement with a supervising physician, you're in violation of your Nurse Practice Act, which means you lose your degree. I mean, you're in big trouble when you do that. And the catch is that no physician can support a nurse midwife or have a relationship with a nurse midwife if she's doing home births, because their malpractice mm-hmm. carrier won't cover them. So that's one catch. If you practice in the hospital setting, clearly you have to have liability coverage, and I do currently. If it's a birth center, and the state of Colorado does have regulations for birth centers, which are freestanding birth centers. They're not home births, they're not hospital mm-hmm. births, but a freestanding birth center. There you have to have an agreement with a physician to back you up and accept transports and also carry malpractice insurance.
Okay. Great. What is your most memorable birth experience?
Ah.
Probably your own, huh?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Okay. What was your saddest or worst birth experience?
Well, in 18 years, there's lots of most memorables and lots of saddest ones. So,
I guess what I was asking in a nice way is, do you ever have just the unthinkable happen?
Oh, yeah. Really? Birth and death are very closely linked, and they go hand in hand sometimes. It's not just death, but birth and bad things that can happen go hand in hand sometimes. And those bad things are related to Mother Nature and quirks that way, and sometimes they're related to just bad stuff happens. And no matter who you are, and the fact that you did the very best you could do doesn't save this mother or this baby from bad things happening sometimes. And so... that is a part of midwifery or of any healthcare provider that is probably the hardest thing to live with. When birth is wonderful, you're always the hero. Oh, isn't she great? She's whatever. Mm-hmm. And when birth is bad, oftentimes you're the reason that it's bad. And if I really believed that, if I really believed that I was the reason that bad things happen, I couldn't do birth. And I also probably would have this, if I really believe that, then I would have this power that no one has. You know, we're just not those kinds of beings in this earth, right, that we know of. And So I think as a midwife or as any provider, you have to find a way to make peace with the fact that bad things happen, and they do definitely happen. And I think the art of midwifery, if you've read spiritual midwifery, you'll know that the midwife is there in that hour of loss, in that hour of where bad things happen, and they don't go away. You know, people that I've shared bad things with, I'm a part of their family, and they will call me or come to me a lot just because we have this very close relationship. And it's because I care and I make that take that time, and I don't go away. I don't just drop in for the bad moment and then leave. I'm there afterwards a lot. So,
okay, great. During your career, what changes have you seen in the practice of midwifery?
Well, when I first started out, I practiced illegally in the state of Colorado, so that's a big change. And there were no nurse midwives. There were very few nurse midwives in the state of Colorado. Now there's a lot more. That's a big change. In fact, the numbers of midwives, of nurse midwives, has really changed and gone up. I think the fact that we are really accepted, a lot more accepted, has changed and not changed. I feel in some ways I'm fighting the same battles that were fought hundreds and hundreds of years ago. In some ways things have not changed. But there's been lots of good changes. So you want some specifics?
Sure. Can you think of any, like the medical community, are they more accepting now? Like when you first started, you said they were actually pretty accepting.
Here?
Did you? Like the local community was actually pretty accepting of
you? I was talking about the community of women, not the medical community. Okay. Is that what you wondered?
Sure. How was the medical community then as opposed to?
Very unaccepting.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I was the first non-physician to work in the hospital. And, you know, the hospital is a place where physicians do their work, and to have a non-physician sort of enter that territory was just like a pack of wolves saying, no, you can't, to another loner wolf. Yeah, I mean, it was, and it's been ongoing for 5 years, the biggest struggle I've ever had in my entire life. So, no, I can't say that it's been easy. There are members within the medical community who are wonderfully accepting and supportive and truly understand the value of working with midwives and work beautifully together. And then there are people in the medical community who are just as closed-minded and as backwards thinking, or I don't know quite how, you know, they have a whole different vision of how women should be treated and cared for, and midwifery doesn't fit into that vision. And so that's been hard. In fact, it's why I'm on a leave of absence at the moment.
Just because of the internal struggle in the medical community then? It's been that divisive and that...
It has been.
Wow.
Yeah. I can honestly say yes.
Wow. Do you foresee yourself going back then? I mean, you seem like you really, this is something that you're really dedicated to and passionate about. So
oh, yeah, I'm
I couldn't
totally
see
passionate about midwifery, and I think that's in part what makes me a good midwife, is my passion for women and for babies and for birth and for the whole process. And I don't know if I'll go back.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I'll always be a midwife. I'll never stop.
Right.
And so, yes, I will be back catching babies. And
just maybe not in that capacity.
Maybe not in that setting, or maybe not in that, I'm not sure the answer to that question. I'm taking this time to truly investigate and evaluate and understand and heal myself from wounds that I've personally felt throughout these 5 years. Mm. You know, being a midwife for 18 years and then in the last five have been the most difficult, that's saying a lot. Usually it should get better. So
right.
I don't know what I'll do.
Wow, okay. So what can we learn from your experience overall with midwifery?
when you say what can we learn?
Just anyone who would want to check this out to learn more about midwifery and to just enlighten themselves.
Well, I'm going to stop it while I think about my answer. I guess for me, midwifery is, well, let me rephrase that. As a midwife, I see myself as a guardian of new life. I see myself as a guardian of for women in their health and well-being during the time of pregnancy, birth, and the, in fact, the whole of women's reproductive lifespan or non-reproductive. So we see women from onset of menses straight through menopausal years. But a midwife is sort of a guardian of a woman's health care during this time, particularly, or maybe emphasizing the time during pregnancy and birth, and so then a guardian for a newborn too. And it's a time, you know, giving birth, we don't do this many times in our lives, and even if we do it three or four times, that's not very many times in our lives that we give birth. And I think that it's also a time in a woman's life. I have women who are 90, 70, 90 years old that come to me and find out I'm a midwife and tell me precisely every detail about their birth experience. It's not a thing that we forget very easily. And I think it's a very meaningful time in a woman's life. When a woman has her first baby, almost routinely she says to me, if I've been in attendance with her, what a major life transformation has occurred for her during this time. And I think that's what midwifery has to offer women and families, is to help the woman go through this major life transformation, feel empowered, feel like a woman. It's almost like you come into your womanhood through giving birth. You enter into motherhood. What a critical time it is in a woman's life when she becomes a mother. A mother means so much for us. How to nurture our young, how to take care of our babies and make them into healthy human beings to populate the planet with is so very important to us. And as a midwife, I feel like the role I have in facilitating that process, making it safe, making it sure for a mother and baby to fall in love, so that there's less abuse in the world and there's more, just like I said, populating the planet with the right kind of people. To me, even though that may seem sort of lofty and out there, that's definitely part of why I do what I do. There's a lot of young mothers that need a midwife to hold their hands and mother them through the process of becoming a mother and knowing how to breastfeed and take care of their baby. So midwifery for me encompasses all of that, and that to me is what's most important, I guess.
Great. Okay, thank you very much for this
Thanks
interview.
For having me.